There you go. All right. Here we go. On three.
One, two, three.
Welcome to the podcast. So this is a retake. We actually had a really good conversation.
It was too good.
It was a really good conversation, which we will try to get back into today, because the memory card on the camera ended up not saving it because the battery died. So that was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
So, but that means we get to have this conversation again, and we've had a little more time to even think about it.
Yeah.
So that may be really cool. And then we've added a second camera. We have Aria behind the camera. Go ahead and say hi, Aria. Say
hi.
Hi. So Aria's behind the camera trying to help, see if we can get some different angles in there as well. So hopefully this works out, comes out clear and well. But either way, audio should be superb as usual. So let's get back into this conversation. We were just talking about dreaming, really. Yeah. It was kind of just the idea, if you could dream about different ministries, and just think of specific examples of the body of Christ coming together to do something. Mm. And really focusing and rallying around a ministry. If we would say the majority of, you know, the local body of Christ were said, you know what, we're all going to get behind this.
Mm.
The amazing impact that could happen in these different situations, right? And so we started off, and I want to start off with the same thing. Started off with kind of a disclaimer in that it's understandable not everyone is going to have the same passion and zeal that we have about certain things.
Yeah.
And it really was, I felt like God was kind of talking with me about this a little bit and just saying, if everyone had that same passion, they would be called to it as well.
Mm.
Right. And it's sometimes we have a greater passion for things, good things, because we are called to it.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's not something that other people, you know, it's not worthy of other people's time or attention, even though it seems like, you know, for those that have the passion for it, we feel like sometimes like, why don't you get it? Like, why aren't you, you know, giving more towards this? This is so important. And we have that passion and that understanding for it. And that's one of the reasons why we're called to it, right? One of the reasons why God, and he puts that on our heart, because he's leading us to serve in that way.
Yeah.
Not everyone is going to have that same passion. If they did, they also would be called to it.
Yes.
Right? And so it's a disclaimer in that, you know, we understanding that can help us from getting frustrated, because we can even in this moment, right, we'll dream about in this conversation like we did previously and in this upcoming conversation, and as we'll encourage, you know, people to do is dream about certain things around your community and what would it look like? How amazing would it be if we saw just a unified effort around these things, and realizing it can be frustrating when we don't see that unified effort.
Yeah.
But really taking a step back and saying, okay, not everyone is going to have that same passion, that same drive for this. And that's understandable, because hopefully there is a passion and a drive in their heart for other things as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all can't be rallied around the same thing, kind of like Paul says, you know, we can't all be the eye. We can't all be the nose, right? So we can't all be rallied around these specific cause and that be our heartbeat and our passion. But as a body, it helps us to know what's going on and stay in contact and still assist one another. And that's part of that. If we have a focus, we can give a majority of our time, effort, energy there. And then with other things, we can also still aid, right? We can also still support, help out. But each of us will have a, you know, we tend to have a primary focus where we're going to put the majority, and not everyone's going to have the same passion for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's our disclaimer. So beyond that, we're just gonna dream. We're gonna talk about this. I had you start last time. I'm gonna do it again. And this was the conversation. It was, if the body of Christ could rally around something, you know, in a community, if you saw the body of Christ saying, you know, we're gonna make a big unified effort for this, just dreaming what that could look like, how much could be accomplished, how amazing that would be if we were to come together and be unified. Because me and you have this passion for it, right? Yeah. That's why we're why we've created In Hope, and why we have the podcast and the different things that we do with Widow's Well and One, and you know, the 5K we're hoping to do, helping out with Convoy of Hope, all the different things that we put our hands into, going to Row 116 events and being involved with Valley Network and Boise Underground and all these different things. It's this idea of we want to contribute, we want to collaborate, invest in these collaborative efforts, and then we also want to teach about unity because we feel like we need a focus there. And so we're gonna help step in and supply that focus there. And so this is I feel like this is just exciting to dream about this. But what's something on your mind as far as if people could rally around it? And I want you guys to be thinking about this as well. You know, our listeners, please make sure you're thinking about this. And we want to hear. We want your feedback. Be part of the conversation. Comment, like, share. Share with us some of the things you feel like people could rally around. And share with us the dream. What could that look like? How amazing would that be? So, Brian, let's start off with you. What's something that you say, let's rally around?
Well, I think just going back to last time when we had the good discussion, I went to Outreach, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when it comes to like the poverty, when we do those events where we give out just socks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I mentioned if we could get the majority of every church in just the Treasure Valley, and like you mentioned it, I lowballed it. I lowballed it. We get at least two people from each church, doesn't matter what denomination, for them to come and serve, and get ready to just show the love of Christ and give the socks off and preach the gospel, and I don't even know what numbers of churches we have in the valley, just in the home.
But there's hundreds.
In the Homedale itself, we have about like eight.
Yeah.
And Homedale's a small town. Yeah, that's a small town. And we get two people, that's an entire team already.
Exactly.
So imagine.
That's like, close to 20 people. I mean, you got 16 people there.
That's already like really good.
That would be a blessing to the homeless community. Yeah.
And if we were able to rally up the entirety of the Treasure Valley, in advance, let people know.
Yeah.
And hopefully, the majority, because I know we can't reach every church. Every church doesn't have the hands to just land out. But, what an impact that to the homeless and ones who are suffering, and that they're able to see the church work together.
Yeah.
That they're able to see that the God we serve is real, that the love is real.
Yeah.
And they're not forgotten by him.
Yeah.
And they're not forgotten by the church.
Yeah. As well. Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And I'm going to challenge something you just said. Because you say, not every church has the hands. I'm going to push back on that. I'm going to say every church does have the hands. It's whether or not they've been activated. Whether or not they've been activated, they've been empowered, they've been encouraged, they've chosen to take up that call, all that responsibility. I think it was Blossom. Yeah, it's Blossom from Row 116. She said that. She was one of the founders with Row 116. And she says, it's about owning the lostness in your community. Right?
Yeah.
Every church has the hands, because we're talking about one or two people.
That's bare minimum.
Come on. That's nothing. We're talking about one or two people, right? So if you're a church of two people, right? Then we're talking about one of those two people saying, I'll get involved in helping serve the homeless. And this is what's amazing about it, is that we're not saying you are going to become the sole responsibility, the sole holder of all the homeless community around your area or throughout, the larger metro area that you're in. What we're saying is, no, say you're going to pray for them regularly, you're going to get involved in some type of outreach, once a month, once a quarter. Because I mean, if you're talking about, for example, we go with a small town, right? Yes. Just eight churches. That's 16 people.
Yeah.
If everyone gave two, well, that's more people than there are months.
Yeah.
So already you have it to where you could have a rotation going where people aren't helping every month, and you could still have two people a month going into the homeless community, providing a chapel, serving some food, bringing some clothes. I mean, just that. And being someone that's within your church to say, hey, church body, we're going to be doing this. Let's pray about it. Are you willing to give towards it? Are you willing to help out? And that type of thing. But knowing your church at least is going to send one, two people.
Yeah.
Right. So I think, yeah, every church, in my opinion, my humble opinion, I feel like every church has the hands. Have they been activated towards it?
Hmm. No, and that is a really good point, because like people have not been given the opportunity
sometimes
to serve, or like you said, like the word you use is activate, like it's there. They just need that nudge.
Yeah. Sometimes
like, because even though they might not even realize it, but until you give them that nudge.
Absolutely.
And then like again, where that calling comes to reach to do outreach, any form of outreach.
Yeah.
It'll definitely flourish.
Yeah.
Like it'll grow. It'll be something that's planted, and Lord's gonna definitely grow that. And but we know that's every aspect of ministry.
Yeah.
The Lord has set on every church, and just one church is the whole body is different. Just in one single church, and then with the different denominations, we could get different perspectives, different help. I would love to see like the different age groups helping, like youth, the young adults, the adults, middle age, and the wise. Like I said last podcast, I was like, I don't like to call them old people. I like to call them the wise, just to be nice. And like that wisdom that they bring in,
absolutely,
you know, just come together. And going back to like, if the valley does, the church and the Treasure Valley does come together, does see the importance of at least just this,
yeah,
comes to outreach. They don't have to only focus on like we know most of the outreaches, big outreaches, are during Christmas time.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But if we get that many numbers volunteering and just said like, okay, you're helping this month,
yeah,
and then the rest of the year you're good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we could reach on the west side and east side of the Treasure Valley.
Right? And every single month.
Yeah.
Right? It would be a consistent thing, not just right around that holiday season or here and there, but there would be a consistent presence.
Yeah.
Right? And something that you brought up last time was that would be such an amazing display of the body of Christ and the love of the body of Christ to the community.
Yeah.
People will recognize that if the church comes together in a way, in that way, and they help serve the homeless, people are going to recognize that.
Yeah.
Civic leaders are going to recognize that. The community will see that. Mm-hmm. And that would be such an amazing display of the love of Christ and the body of Christ coming together. Because people notice. People notice when churches aren't willing to work together. And they notice when churches do come together.
Yeah.
People do notice that.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazing. And something that I love about it is you're also talking about one of those key areas that's mentioned time and time again throughout the scriptures, time and time again throughout the gospel by Jesus, time and time again throughout all of the Old Testament. You see this appeal for us to serve the least of these, to help the poor, to help those that are destitute and struggling. And, you know, if we did focus on those simple matters that are brought up time and time again in scripture, like again, the display that would show to the world that, okay, these people really are following Jesus's teachings.
Yeah.
Because if you know nothing about Christianity, or you know very little, I should say, about Christianity and the teachings of Christ, and people will recognize that idea of being humble, serving the poor, taking care of the widow, loving one another.
Mm.
If we could just display those things, man.
Yeah.
Man.
Now, like you said, it'll display what Christ wanted the church to be, but it's like not just the church, because we could also look at the Old Testament and how God even put the law, the Torah.
Yeah.
To help those things.
Exactly.
Like
right?
From the very beginning.
Yes.
He put if a brother is in need, you better take off your own coat and like, give it to him.
Right? Leave as you're harvesting your field, leave the gleanings for those that need that help for them to come up and pick up after you. Don't go back and, you know, clean up your gleanings a second time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he had all of these different stipulations for the poor and for the stranger.
Yeah.
And so
even for your enemy.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that. Like, even for your enemy. Yeah. Like, it's like, if your enemy is found naked,
you better cover him. Yeah. Right.
And that's just the display of the love that Christ showed us.
Yeah.
When we're his enemies.
Yeah.
And why not do it now? Like, we shouldn't have enemies, but we know they're the ones who now go against the will of the Lord. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't show them love.
Yeah.
And if there's like I said, just bare minimum, each church is one.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you know, you think they're going to stay your enemy for a long time? Right?
Exactly.
Like,
that's so good.
And look, somebody who, like, just wants to hate the church, but they are receiving love. Like,
yeah,
it's gonna be hard to hate exactly. somebody,
yeah,
who or organization, a church, or something that's giving back to you
regularly,
yeah,
consistently, being present. I think that's one of the big things, is that it's easy to show up once or twice a year, right, and put on a good show is what people will see. But if you're there consistently,
if we're
taking care of the poor consistently, man. The impact that would have on, and it's not like we don't have ways of doing this. We have ministries. Most communities, most metro areas already have ministries set up that are focused on the poor. So it's not, we're not saying every church, go create your own homeless ministry. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, no, rally around.
Something that's already established.
Something that's already established. Exactly.
You don't have to do the paperwork.
Make it simple.
Simple, yeah.
Like, let's just plug in. Let's say, hey, everyone's going to plug into this rescue mission.
Yes.
Everyone's going to plug into this shelter. Right? And man, the amazing impact. And what's so cool about it is usually those are ministries that are struggling for volunteers. Right. Yeah. And there's so much that they already have vision wise that they would love to see accomplished, that the community would rally around and love to see accomplished. But they don't have the finances, the time, the manpower to take care of those things. If every church were to step in and be like, hey, we're going to give one or two hands.
Yep.
Boom. There goes 100 volunteers. There goes, you know, 100 people advocating for giving to this organization. Do you know how? Oh, I just can't even imagine like how amazing that would be, because I can just see, we know of a rescue mission, you know, in the Boise area, Boise Rescue Mission. I can just imagine them buying up property, putting in low incoming housing, starting up new programs. I think something we got into last time we were talking is I was saying, man, you'd be able to bring in people who can teach different skills and assets, right? Because you have all these volunteers and manpower and all these resources, being able to bring in people who are teaching, you know, skills and access, teaching carpentry, teaching mechanics, and teaching plumbing, teaching all these different truck driving, CDLs, right? Teaching people how to cook, right? Homeless shelters are always trying to feed people. If you had people there that are teaching them how to cook, and then you have people that are passionate about that and want to learn how to cook, and they get certified in culinary arts, and as part of their practice, they're there cooking for the other people in the homeless shelter.
Come on.
Come on now. like there's so many ways that it could be helpful, because it can all feed right back into this system of, okay, we're helping you learn a trade that's going to get you paid and get you off the streets. But while you're learning this, you're also going to be serving people to help them stay off of the streets.
Yes.
Right? You're learning to be a plumber, right? And you're getting your certification and all that. Okay, well, we're going to go help this family that just got hit with a plumbing issue. And that if they're not able to pay that.
Yeah.
Then their house is going to be destroyed. But if they pay it, then they can't afford their house. Yeah. So we're going to help them stay out of the situation of homelessness. Yeah. And you're going to come in there and be like, I know I'm trying to keep you out of the situation I'm familiar with, right?
Yeah.
And I'm getting my training, I'm getting my man hours, I'm getting all that. And man, like that would just lift up a community in such an amazing way.
Yeah.
Because if you can imagine all the different areas that communities need help, need service, are short of mans. And I mean, this is even going down to, you know, the city and not having enough people cleaning up the parks, right?
Yeah.
And like, your community could be beautified, right? By people who are trying to learn to earn a living and be trained up in personal development, and also just a bunch of volunteers coming alongside of them and saying, hey, we're going to do this together. We're going to take care of our community, and you're a valuable part of this community.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Now, I know I did this last time, but I'm going to refer to you. Yeah, yeah. What's something that you dream about for the community, for the unity of this treasure
valley? Yeah, yeah. So, especially if we're looking at something that I feel like the body of Christ could rally around. I'm gonna jump right into a touchy subject here, because we're talking about this idea of if we're rallying around it, especially as Christian organizations and as Christian individuals, that doesn't mean that we all have to take on, you know, hours upon hours each week trying to make this thing happen. No, because we're all doing it, we're doing a little, right? And I would say it's the same thing when it comes to financing kingdom efforts, right? If we're all doing it, then it only takes a little. I think a ministry, you can think of any ministry, think of a ministry in your mind right now that you believe is doing or trying to accomplish great things for the kingdom, right? I can think of one. I'm going to think of In Hope as a ministry, right? I'm going to think of In Hope as a ministry. If every believer within a metro area was willing to just give $1, how far would it go for that ministry? What would that ministry be able to accomplish if every believer was able to give just $1?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Wow. And so something that comes to my mind is Row 116. So Row 116, they've been on the podcast before, and they have this goal of just seeing 300 people show up. If we could just get 300, there's a lot more than 300 believers, right? But if you can get 300 believers to show up to one of their events, then I'm thinking of Row 116, right? If they could get, the goal was 300 people.
To show up.
For them, this is a crowd fundraising for evangelical organizations, meaning organizations who are evangelizing, who are trying to see people come to know Christ, right? And there's so many different organizations they've already been able to bless and help out with. And their minimum, they've mentioned, they will not give less than $5,000 to a ministry and they show up to one of these events that they have quarterly, right? They haven't done that. They've always kept it above 5,000, giving at least 5,000. But really the goal is to get 300 people there, because if you can get 300, that's $30,000.
Yeah.
$30,000 that would go to an organization trying to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
Trying to see people come to know Christ. And this is a quarterly thing, right?
Oh.
So you're talking, it's 116, so you're talking less than $40 a month, right? Again, let's look at every church within a metro area, right? We're going to say you got a smaller metro area, you only got about 100 churches. 100 churches. I think most churches have it within their budget to say $40 a month.
Yeah.
$40 a month. And you know what's even crazy about that is that a lot of churches have people within their churches that could say, oh, I'll do another $40 a month.
Yeah.
On top of what the church is getting.
It's already given.
Yeah. Right. And then so if you could imagine, you know, every church just being willing to say, we're going to make sure we send three people to come be part of that event and donate the 116 that goes towards the event to make it happen and write the check. Man. Now I'm lowballing again. Yeah, we're lowballing because we're saying 100 churches.
Yeah.
Right? But if you have 200 churches,
jeez.
Well, then let's talk about the fact that that goes from every church sending three people to every church just sending two people, yet that went up to 400 people.
Yeah.
If your church had, if your metro area has about 250, let's say your metro, I'm gonna keep it easy. Let's say your metro area has around 300. That comes back to every church sending one person.
Yeah.
One person. Every quarter.
It's simplicity.
Not even talking monthly. They're going to show up once a quarter with a check that the churches wrote because they set aside $40 a month.
Mm.
And they're going to show up. They're going to get themselves a nice meal provided by Idaho Pizza Company. And they're going to get to listen and learn about ministries within their area.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they get to say, okay, we want this ministry to get the funds this time around.
Mm.
And then that ministry's walking away with over 20 grand?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. Do you know what 20 grand could... 20 grand is in... That's in hope for the whole year.
Yeah.
Like, that's in hope and more, right? Yeah. So that's... Wow.
Mm.
Wow. The amazing things that could be accomplished
with
something like that, with the body of Christ just rallying around. And I think about that... You know, just touching on that idea, that's when it comes to Row 116 and what they're doing. But there's so many amazing ministries to where if the body of Christ was just willing to say, we're going to rally around and make sure finances are not an issue for this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
No.
The things that could be accomplished.
And I think that's the thing. I think we touched on it last time. Is like we're lowballing it, but I think the terminology we switched to was the simplicity of it.
Simplicity, absolutely.
If we don't complicate it,
no,
if we just go simple,
yeah,
like $40 free. That's simple.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
it's simplicity.
And that's $40 from a church.
One
right from a church. Most so the average church has about 70 people in it.
Hmm.
Right. So we're talking about less than a dollar from each person in that church every month.
Yeah.
Come on. Less than a dollar? We spend more than a dollar on Boo Boo McDonald's food. And you're telling me we can't put a dollar to see the kingdom move forward within a month?
Yeah.
A month.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's one of those things where if we could rally around it, keep it simple. And man, the amazing expansion that could happen from there, the amazing things that could happen. There's ministries that have gone through Row 116. There's some where, man, they love on and they have a focus on ministering to international students, right? Students show up to a lot of college campuses in America and a lot of world leaders come to America for school. A lot of world leaders send their kids to America for school, for college. So American colleges get an influx of foreign leaders, the best and the brilliant from other nations. And this ministry focuses on building relationship with them and introducing them to Christ.
Yeah.
Some of them are coming from countries that are closed. Mm. They've never even heard of the gospel. One of the guys, he was sharing a story. He was saying he loved this, what happened, because him and another student would regularly have conversations in front of a student. And at some point, that student, the third student, right, that was just sitting there listening, he said, wait. So is this Jesus? Is he a thing? Or is this a person? Because he had no idea. Right. And so they were able from there. He was already getting, you know, some conversation around him. So he was hearing things. And now here's that door that's open.
Yeah.
And he literally just asked, tell me, who's Jesus?
Easy.
Here we go.
And that should, and for any believer, that should be easy.
Oh, right. Right.
And I guess I should.
Should. But that's another thing. Let's get into it. So that's another thing. Right. When looking at if we would all rally around something, this idea of being well educated within scripture, oh man, if we could all rally around that, right? And now we have a lot of different viewpoints and variations on how we can interpret scripture throughout the body of Christ, and that's understandable. But what is not the best thing, I would say, is the fact that a lot of believers don't even fully understand and know how their own congregation would interpret the body.
Mm.
Like the the denomination that they align with, the church that they align with, they would not have an understanding of a lot of scripture, and they would not have an understanding of their church's viewpoints on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's something about this idea of if we could even rally around the effort of becoming better educated within the scriptures, because that is, oh, I mean, you talk about something that's so central and foundational to the to the church. And so, I mean, how exactly do we do that? Again, let's keep it simple. Let's talk about who are people that are already doing this, right? Something that comes to my mind is, you know who I'm talking about. They have a YouTube channel, and they do like all these different graphics along with, as they talk about different topics within scripture. It's, what is it called?
There's a few of them. There's a blue logo. Is it?
I'm thinking about the blue logo.
Now that you said that, it's like in the tip of my tongue.
Right? Somebody's thinking of what it is. Somebody knows. Is it the Bible Project?
I think,
Bible Project, right? Yeah. So like, man, if we could get Aria's over here, like, yes, it's the Bible Project. Because she watches some of those. And so I'm like, man, if we could rally around the Bible Project, right? And we could even say, hey, look, Bible Project, we're just going to do this big push. The body of Christ is just going to rally around you. And we know, okay, you guys are doing an amazing job with what you're doing. And so we think you guys are the ones to carry this forward. And we understand you have specific theological bents. All we're asking is that you also share some others. Share, for example, if you come up to a topic where you know there's different variations, you can share those different variations, right?
Even
on how this is interpreted, but do it in the way that you've been doing it. Like, continue to do it in the way that you've been doing it. And but as you come up to this topic, maybe share, okay, these are some different viewpoints and this is where they come from. Because you guys are like, they're great at studying the history of those things, the context of scripture, and you know, people who have added in throughout history. And so, I mean, if they could do that and the body of Christ could rally around them and just say, hey, look, finances aren't going to be an issue.
Come on.
Finances aren't going to be an issue. Time isn't going to be an issue. You need more man hours? You need more people to help? All right, let's send you some people, right? You need more finances to pull off some great effects? Let's send you some people, right? Let's get you some finances. But man, how amazing would that be? And then not only for them to do it, but for the Bible Project to be lifted to a whole nother level and the word being put out there about these different videos and what they do. See, there's a lot of people, as we're talking about this, they're like, what is this Bible Project? That shouldn't be a thing. Like, everybody should know what the Bible Project is. And so I feel like when you log on to any type of social media, you should be getting slapped in the face with some Bible Project ads because finances are not an issue, right? And it's just one of those things to where it's like, man, if the body of Christ could rally around it, though, if the body of Christ could rally around it, then there would be no person within America. And think about this, that there would be no person within your country, within your community, who could say they have not been exposed to the word of God.
Come on.
They have not been exposed to the gospel message.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And that's the social media, like that's already an attraction itself.
Yeah.
They're taking advantage of that, spreading, not only spreading the gospel, but spreading teaching lessons.
Yeah.
Of things that, like, even a baby Christian will be asking, like, what does this mean? What did Jesus mean in the Gospel of John? What do you mean here? What, and like, and they did a good job in the historical context of things in the videos, and like, why we have our canon Bible. And they do a great job at it. So, like, why not, you know, like, get behind supporting them?
Yeah.
Like if every church could at least give a little bit,
exactly.
Again, go simple.
If every church could give a little, we're talking a little bit, but it's the power in numbers. Us coming together, numbers, right? Us coming together and saying we're all going to do a little, so that as the body of Christ we could do much.
No,
right?
Come on,
we're all going to do a little, so that as the body of Christ we can do much. And Oh, something just came to my mind. We talked about it last time and it came to my mind again. And I'm trying to remember what was this topic that we brought up. I know we talked about like ministry within schools, talk about like good news clubs, launch pads, things like that. And for those that don't know what those are, so good news clubs are after school clubs where you'll have Christians come in to and do an after school club and they hang out with the kids, they have a good time, but they're actually learning the good news.
Yeah.
Like they are teaching an after school program, they're teaching these kids on their school campus the gospel. They're teaching them the good news. So good news club, that's part of child evangelism fellowship. You have launch pad.
You have FCA.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. And so FCAs, they have huddles within schools. Launch pads, so that's something that could happen during school, on school campus, like at a lunch break, or you know, those types of things. And then launch pad, it's a religious release hour,
yeah,
to where students could actually go to a class as part of their schedule where they're learning about scripture. Launch pad ends up finding locations near a school, and then they're able to be released from their school for a period to go learn about scripture. And like, oh, come on now. So you talk about ways of getting, again, that biblical literacy, right? Like getting that in. And so these are different ways that if we were able to rally around these ministries, child evangelism fellowship, good news clubs, launch pad ministries, right? Bible project, like if you're able to rally around these different types of things,
That's looking after the next generation.
Yeah.
Because teenagers, kids, like they're still developing, and we're in that stage of development. They tend to hold that for a very long time into their adulthood.
Exactly.
Because once you're an adult, you tend to not want to, especially leave it up
here. You're losing space. You're losing some space, right?
But if we start early, oh man, imagine once they're adults serving the Lord, serving the community, because they know what scripture is saying.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, that's so cool. That's so cool. I'm going to kick myself because I'm really trying to remember what was this thing that just came across my mind. And we talked about it last time.
Because I think we ended last time with young adult ministry.
We did. I think last time we ended with young adult ministry, which is a whole nut. Come on now. Young adult ministry, like that's one of those things to where most churches struggle with this.
Yeah.
Most churches struggle with this. If you're a bigger church, if you're, you know, one of those thousands plus, usually 1,000-2,000 plus type of churches, which is the minority of churches. That is real big in comparison to the majority of churches. Like I said, the majority of churches are around 70 people. Yeah. I think it's over 80% of churches are 200 people or less. And so you're looking at a big church, a small percentage of the overall church is a church that's, you know, 1,000, 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that can tend to sustain a young adult ministry.
Yeah.
But those tend to be the only ones that sustain because they have a large pool to pull from. But there are so many young adults in these other churches that are hundreds of people or even tens of people, right? And they'll have young adults coming through that want to connect. And what's so crazy about it is that you could have thousands of young adult believers in your community, but they've all been dispersed. And so they feel isolated and they feel alone because there's only maybe two or three others at their church and maybe they just don't get along, right? Like, that's a thing, right? I mean, we don't all, you know, like to hang out with every single type of person, right? Like, we all have our own flavors. So it's one of those things to where, unfortunately, when you have that, you start to feel isolated and disconnected from the community, which is the body of Christ. And then maybe this is one of the reasons why we see such a big falling away, because there's isolation, disconnection from people that they actually want to be in community with, right? That they feel connected with, feel like peers with. And then so now you have this big falling away in young adulthood that the church overall faces, and the church overall has a struggle reaching these young adults. But what if we stopped trying to do it as individual local congregations and we all came together and said, hey, let's do this. Yeah. Let's come together. Let's bring all of our young adults together and give them a place where they could worship, where they could have community, where they could dive in now that they're older, right? Now that they're working their critical thinking skills in college, like let's dive in to what we believe and why we believe it and hear different viewpoints and be challenged. And now if you are concerned, if you are, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you are insecure about your young adults learning different viewpoints, if you feel threatened by them learning different viewpoints, if you don't have confidence in your young adults to learn different viewpoints, that's an issue. Mm-hmm. That's an issue. Then we have failed them from when they were in nursery and going through Sunday school programs and going all the way through kids' church and youth and whatnot, then we have failed them if we don't think that we can share different viewpoints with them and them still end up walking with Christ. Yeah. Especially when they're different viewpoints that are still biblical.
Yeah.
That are still saying Jesus is Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Right? That maybe it's not your exactly interpretation of scripture, but they're still taking on a viewpoint that says, yeah, the Bible is the word of God and that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Like they're still going to be walking with God, even if they're not walking with him in your church's or denomination's way. If you're threatened by that and you're willing to say, no, we're just going to keep on doing things the way that we've been doing them. Because that's been working so great. Rather than like, let's try something. Let's try something different. That's.
And I think in those situations, it's just because mostly that, like you're saying, mostly talking to the leaders of these young adults groups, there has to be a spiritual maturity where you're able to have a discussion. But still say, I'm still linking arms with you because we're still part of the same kingdom.
Exactly.
And like I say, it has to be spiritual maturity in that. And like,
If the leaders aren't there, there's no way the young adult program is going to go.
And the leaders have to walk by example.
Yeah.
If they see let's use me as an example. If they see me go to this event, but I'm not friendly with the other leaders,
or your bad mouth, talking about how much they have it wrong,
But instead, look, if it has to be a back and forth thing, like if we link arms, we said we're going to spread the gospel. We have our differences in minor things, but I'm not saying you're not going to have it. Like I'm pretty sure I'm going to see you up there because like they have strengths that I don't, and hopefully I have strengths that they don't have.
Yeah,
and we're going to be reaching those people, and that's why the body is supposed to be different.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be in their own strengths. It's supposed to be into their own callings.
Yeah, and if we could have the humility not to belittle them.
Yeah,
because maybe we don't badmouth them and speak ill of them in a blatant way, but we speak of them as though they're less than. Like they don't know as much or, you know, they all, you know, like the youth, the kids, they pick up on that.
No, they see it and they're like, okay, I could be friends with that church now.
Yeah.
Like that shouldn't be an issue. Yeah. Why are we even mentioning it?
Yeah.
Shouldn't be an issue within the church.
Yeah.
But it is. And like, and it's because of that, because the congregation, like let it be just your youth group, let it be your kids ministry, they do follow who these look up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they look up to usually the leader, their pastor,
exactly,
whoever it is. And if they're bad mouthing, but you see their leader still okay.
Yeah,
he knows how to hold his tongue, how scripture says.
Yeah,
we could go to the Proverbs for that.
Yeah,
like they're saying, like okay, yeah, they did that, but I still love.
Yeah. Exactly, because the leader still loves them.
Right? And the young adult age group, if that happens, that's the bridge of the young and the old. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the bridge, and it's where it's, like you said, it's the most struggle of every leader in every church, or even if they don't have a leader for young adults, but the young adults who they feel like that's their leader.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going over here. Like oh, we're going with you.
Yeah, exactly.
If they start humbling themselves and come together with just the aspect of finding the community of your own age and this difficult age group, because it really is, because they're in college, they're moving out of their parents' house, mm-hmm. they're getting married, they're getting in debt,
they're adulting. This is difficult, guys.
But they have the backing of each other. And they could still spread the gospel. They could still learn about Jesus. Yeah. They could ask those tough questions that they were too scared to ask in youth, even though they shouldn't be too scared to ask. You know? Oh, my gosh. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God would just explode.
That'll go a long way. And I know last time we talked about with young adults, I don't even remember what specific things we touched on. But we were getting into how the world values them.
Yeah.
The world values young adults. We don't rally as a church and put our resources and efforts and all that. And I think maybe this is kind of where we got into a little bit. And we're talking about young adult ministry and the fact that so many churches fail to develop a young adult ministry. We don't put the time, effort, finances, energy towards it. Whereas the world is putting all these finances, all this time, all this effort towards reaching them. And then so during this age, they're taking this step into this new world. And in this new world, the church no longer has anything for them. And the world is telling them, you're so valuable, you're so important. And they're giving, they're putting so much time, effort, and energy towards them. And they're telling them, you have a place, you have a purpose. And not only that, the world is encouraging them to do things that make them feel important and like they can make a difference. Where you're not seeing that as much within the church, other than, and let me say it, other than lip service. I was talking with Pastor Dusty the other day, and he said, you know, you can really figure out a lot about a person by their schedule and their checkbook. If you let me see your transactions and you let me see where you spend your time, I can tell you what you value. And if we were to look at that on the scale for the church, I think that we would absolutely see an underwhelming amount of love, effort, and energy poured in towards young adults. I think most churches, if you looked at their pocketbook and you looked at the time where they're spending their time, it would say, we care about young adults least. And I can hear some, I can hear someone talking to me right now saying, well, but they don't tithe. I'm going to go back to another conversation I had. I'm going to go back to another conversation I had with Tara. Again, make sure you're catching up on all the podcasts. All right. Make sure you're catching up on. But Tara mentioned how she had someone say, you need to be willing to give what you want from others. If you're not willing to give it, don't expect that from others. You need to be willing to give what you want from others. And so if you want young adults' time, you want young adults' finances, their tithe, you want their effort and energy, yet you're giving them the minimal amount, they're going to give you the minimal amount. And you may say, yeah, but we're the church. Now I'm just hearing people talk to me. All right. Maybe because y'all are typing this into the comments, like as we're talking about it. So it's just coming to me. I don't know. But I can hear someone say, yeah, but we're the church. Like we're important. Like the church deserves this time, effort, and the Lord deserves this time, effort, and energy. They'll say, well, they may feel like they're giving the Lord their time, effort, and energy somewhere else. It doesn't necessarily have to go through your specific church. And that's something we need to hear. Your church is not the body of Christ. Your church is only a part of it. Your church is not the doorway and the connection to God. It's only part of it. And so you can't expect that all of their faith is what you see. That, you know, everything, that what you see is encompassing all of their faith and their interaction with God and everything. Hmm. That's just not how it is. And then also, I would say this. We loved him because he first loved us.
Yeah.
We loved him because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, if we're saying, but we're the church, then you're saying, well, they need to love the body of Christ before the body of Christ loves them.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense? For the head to say that he loved us before we loved him, he came to serve, not to be served.
Yeah.
And then the body of Christ to turn around and say, no, they need to serve us before we serve them.
Mm.
They need to love us before we love them.
Mm-hmm.
The world is willing to throw everything they can at young adults to captivate them and make them part of their agenda. Yet, I'm telling you, if we looked at the schedules and the transactions of a lot of churches, it would say young adults are the least of our priority. And that that hurts.
And that's why the words I've used throughout the years when it comes to trying to reach the young adult age has been negligence.
We
neglect. Come on now.
Call the CDC. Call the CDC.
We neglect the young adult age, and we neglect scripture in the sense that we don't want to disciple as a church. If we don't neglect scripture, we're going to disciple them. Jesus discipled his chosen 12, right?
Yeah.
For 3 years.
Mm.
Are you willing to spend that much time?
Yeah.
And he spent more than 3 years knowing them because they camped together.
Yeah.
It wasn't just only on Sunday when I see you at a church.
Exactly.
Right? No, they
twice a week. Y'all know where to meet me twice a week. We're going to have service together.
He knew them
for an hour
and they knew him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until later on until he started giving them drinks.
Mm.
So are you willing
to
get to know your
this
truly disciple?
Yeah. And are you willing to unleash them? Are you willing to unleash them? Give them purpose. Give them something to contribute to. Because let's face it, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus released the apostles far before most ministers today would release people in their church.
Yeah.
Because they were still all over the place, still messing up, still didn't get it, still doing. And Jesus would. Did it stop recording?
It says movie recording has been stopped.
Yeah, so that's what I said. You just have to press it again. There you go. This one's going to sleep on us. Right about the same time. Okay. So here we go. But yeah, man, we're getting on a tangent with the young adults. But I feel like we fear letting them make mistakes.
That shouldn't be a fear, but it is.
It is. We fear letting them make mistakes. And I also would say I think we fear making mistakes as churches, as Christians. We fear let's get into this. And maybe it doesn't go, greatly. We always think about all the worst ways that this can go and what could happen. Can we let God be God?
Say that again. Come on.
Can we let God be God? Right? I mean, I'm just thinking, try reading scripture with that lens. Try reading scripture with the lens of how bad this could go. The worst that could happen. And tell me that God does not listen to you and he keeps on doing things that you think, oh, that's too risky. Right? And it's like the heroes of the faith, so much of the things they do, but if he's wrong, right? If he makes a mistake, oh, dude. But what's amazing is they let God be God.
Yeah.
And he works those things out. Mm. And I dare say that the body of Christ could possibly go farther and do more and accomplish more good if we were willing to make more mistakes.
Mm.
Because our God is big enough to overcome those and use that.
Yeah.
Because all throughout the New Testament, the apostles were making mistakes.
Oh, right? Shorter time. It points it out for
making
a reason.
Mistakes, and right?
I think that's the reason behind it, is to point it out that we're still human.
Yeah.
But he's God.
He's God. We're the natural.
Yeah.
The natural is going to come with some mistakes. Yeah. But unless the natural is willing to move, we don't get to that supernatural.
Yeah.
Right? Like God, it's amazing because he's already in action. He's already stirring. He's already moving. But sometimes it's like he's waiting here for us. And then the natural just won't take that step.
Yeah.
The natural won't take that step. I feel like so often we think we are waiting on God and he's waiting on us. He's saying, I'm waiting for you to move. I'm waiting for you to take a leap. I'm waiting for you to take some risk because he's able to overcome that. And I tell people, you've likely heard me say this. I say, God doesn't work off of a roadmap, but off of street signs. And I say that because a roadmap is something that you pull off, you read while you're parked, you map out where you're going to go, you know your turns and whatnot, and then you hit the road. But God doesn't work off of a roadmap. He's working off of street signs. And street signs are for moving vehicles.
Come on.
So he's going to talk to us as we're moving. He's going to guide us. And if you know, the laws of movement and gravity, it's a lot easier to move an object once it's been in motion.
Yeah.
Right. With some of our big heavy heads, right? And I'm talking to all of us, some of our big heavy heads, right? Like, we couldn't move that bad boy if we tried with all of our effort to push it. Is it not recording?
Yeah, I wasn't seeing all that, so I was wondering.
There it goes. Okay. Are you recording up there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we got something. Memory full. Oh, come on. So I'm just talking to you right now because I think with that, God can, our big heavy heads, if we're just willing to start moving, it's a lot easier to move us and guide us where he wants us. But if we're just staying stagnant, and what's amazing is like, well, you don't want to get ahead of God. You don't want to move. There are so many simple things. We keep on bringing it back to there's so many simple things in scripture where we know he wants us to do this. We're over here fretting off of how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But if we just start doing it, he can start directing the how.
Yeah. And that's human nature at that point.
Yeah.
Well, we could go all the way to Moses, right? Like, go in front of Pharaoh. I stuttered, Lord. Like, you're already like, instead of, okay, start moving. No, you're already like, thinking about it too much, like sitting on it. Like, and yes, pray about it. But like, if he says go, then you better go.
Better go. Yeah.
That's absolutely. Like, and when he says you better pray, then you pray.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. And that's still motion. That's spiritual motion.
Exactly.
That you're still moving in him. And I think like any organization, any ministry, like if they just know that God is that he's truly in control, like that's your faith. Not just in your life, but
that's
in what he has called you to do.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, like he's gonna move mountains for whatever he has told you he was gonna do. And me and you, we could talk about testimonies about him doing that.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure anybody else listening, you have your own testimony of like, you just had to take the step. And a step is still moving forward. You're not taking a leap. Because like if you take a leap, but you don't know where you're gonna land, that'll be hard. But in the step, the Lord's like showing you, he's that light. He's showing you the path.
And that's good. That's good. Okay, Ari, I need that camera back. We're gonna wrap this up real quick. We keep on getting malfunctions with the cameras, so hopefully we can piece this together.
I think we talk too much. I think the memory's too full.
But what's it called? I think with that, man, I really wish I could remember that thing that I brought up last time. It's going to come to me as soon as we turn this off, right? Man, but what's it called? With that, with what we're talking about, there are so many different great efforts that you can look into in your communities. So many different things. And I think when we are saying everyone in the body of Christ does a little. We all take up ownership. We all take on, own the lostness, right? We all take up some of that burden. Then we don't have to lift as much. It could be something as simple as $5, $10 regularly. Mm-hmm. It could be something as 1 hour every month, every 2 months, every quarter, right? It can be these simple things, but if we're doing it together, the impact that could make. Mm-hmm. And so we want to invite you also, just as we're closing off, to help us make that impact, even now as we're talking about unity within the body of Christ, within hope, help us strengthen unity. Mm-hmm. You can do as simple, and I mean, again, as simple as we have it at what, $2 a month? $2 a month? Like,
yeah.
We waste a lot more than that, guys. We waste a lot more than that on stuff that we don't need, that is less valuable than this, than bringing the body of Christ together, talking about unity, teaching about it, investing in collaborative efforts. That's something that as you give to In Hope, then you're helping us to continue to teach about, go deeper in this idea of biblical community and talking about that, emphasizing that, helping us to grow in that as a body of Christ, and also to be able to invest in collaborative efforts. Invest in efforts that are bringing multiple pieces of the body of Christ together and make those things happen. So if you would go to our website, partner with us, become a ministry partner, giving as little as $2 a month, you'll see different thresholds there. And starting at $2 up to $40 a month, and then $100 a month, help us out. And thank you so much. We want you to be part of this conversation. So please, this is a really important one too. Just jump in there, share some of those ideas, things that we could rally around on what that would look like. Let's imagine, let's picture what it would be like in these different areas for the body of Christ to come together. And let's have those conversations. I feel like we're going to do this one again. We're going to add a whole nother part two or something to it, because there's just so many different things.
Just too many.
And I can't even think of that one thing. And I was like, man, we got to talk about that one again. So we're gonna talk about some more. All right. Thank you, guys. Be part of that conversation. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. All right. You can turn it off.